Genesis chapter 34, verse 1. Hear now the very words of God. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her, and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her to him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell, and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, Because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this we will consent unto you. If ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of the city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us. Therefore let them dwell in the land, and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened, all that went out of the gate of his city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain, and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep, and their oxen, and their asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and all their wives took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, Should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. a difficult passage because there are so many sins and grievances going on, and there is a point at which, and we need not fear to do this because the Bible gives us leave to do so when it says of Shechem that he was an honorable man. It seems that Shechem, while he was an honorable man, that he tended to, if you will, put the cart before the horse. Seems to me that he should have come to his father before he defiled Dinah and said, get her to me to wife. But he did not. He put the cart before the horse. Let us not put the cart before the horses. Those of you who are unmarried and in your teens or later, in your early 20s, unmarried, it is very important that you avoid what Dinah did here, and that is to expose herself to temptation. So you must not expose yourself to temptation. That means that you must have a chaperone with you when you're with members of the opposite sex. It only makes sense. It will protect your reputation and the one that you're with. So make sure that you are accompanied properly when you go out and when you come in. Watch the circumstances that are around you so that you don't give the appearance of evil. I trust all of you. But I also know that we ought not to give the appearance of evil. That we want to maintain the reputation not only of ourselves, not only of our families, not only of our church, but of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so we want to protect the reputation of those various parties, especially Christ's reputation. And so we must not only avoid evil, we must avoid the appearance of evil as well. So chaperones and companions and keeping in a larger public company, all those are helpful, profitable, yes, necessary things. Dinah did not. She went out, we suppose, there is nothing in the text to indicate that she went out with any sort of male accompaniment, with any sort of protection. So it seems that she went out to spend time with the daughters of the land and ended up defiled. I would imagine she didn't leave the house that morning with that in mind. But she certainly came back with it. So, it is important that we maintain a proper sense of decorum, propriety, modesty, that we obey the seventh commandment, not only in its greatest sins, but also in the lesser sins as well as avoiding the appearance of evil. Sins are sins. Yes, there are sins that are more heinous than others. So let's avoid those that are of the least heinousness, and thereby allowing those that are of the greater heinousness to take care of themselves, right? If we will take care in those small things, those larger things will be much easier. So then we have the difficulty here with Jacob. And I think Jacob does not serve his sons very well here. You remember that when Hamor and Shechem came, they spoke to Jacob, and Jacob didn't say a word. It was as if he was prepared to acquiesce to the will of his sons already, rather than as that leader of his family to stand up and say, listen, guys, this is what we're going to do. Now, there could have been righteousness come forth out of this difficult circumstance. There could have been the adoption of Shechem into he alone could have been circumcised, become an Israelite, become part of Jacob's family, go to live with Jacob and his family, and that way they would not have lost their daughter Dinah. They would have gained a son-in-law, and he would have become a member of the covenant through circumcision and belief in Jehovah. Rather than that, though, the ruse of the sons is, well, what they do is they use the covenant sign as something by which they will slay those men. Now see, that's just wrong. There were many ways that this could have been handled, but Jacob, I think, kind of gave up his authority as father. You see what it says in the field here, and it says, and Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. I don't think Jacob should have done that. I think Jacob should have been forward with what was the righteous thing to do at that point. But he lets the young sons, who perhaps were a bit more hot-headed, if you will, drive the boat at that point. And so they make the ruse with Hamor and Shechem. And Hamor and Shechem, fully being honorable men themselves, although we see that Shechem had sinned, it still seems that he was an honorable young man, that he realized his mistake, that he realized that he had done wrong. Whatever dowry you want, I'll pay it. Just let me know. And so then what we have is them thinking that the men of Israel, imagine that, the men of Israel, honorable men. Well, they should have had that as a reasonable expectation. And yet, that's not what the men of Israel had in mind. It's not what Jacob's sons had in mind. They said, let us be certain. We'll be as one people. No, see, they never had a right to do that. They never had a right to call all of the sons of Hamor, all of the men of that city, all the men of Shechem, one people with them. They didn't have that right. And yet, that's what they said. And Shechem and Hamor believed them and went back to town and sold the men of the city on that concept. And so all of the men of the city consented to receive the covenant sign. And then the third day, while they were still recovering, yet sore from the circumcision, Simeon and Levi, which were of the same mother as Dinah, took up for her, at least they thought they did, and executed their own vengeance upon the men of the city. Now, what's interesting about that is that we see that when their excitement gets up, that they can't stop. They go in there, and if they were going to do something that was unlawful like that, what would have been at least somewhat reasonable for them to do? To take care of Shechem, right? Because Shechem was the one that defiled Dinah. Well, they don't stop with Shechem. They don't stop with Hamor. They don't stop until they've killed every man in the city, and they've taken their wives and their little ones and their cattle for themselves. So we see ripe lawlessness here. This is why we must restrain our passions. We don't let our passions rise up. You remember what I told you a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount and being peacemakers, how it is that when one thing goes wrong, lots of things go wrong. That when we allow our passions to rise up in one thing, they often spill over into other things. This is what we see here at Shechem. We see the rapaciousness, the violence, the bloodthirstiness of Simeon and Levi. Not satisfied until every male of Shechem is dead, their women and children taken captive, and their cattle. And then Jacob, again, disappointed in Jacob here, because what he does is he rises up to Simeon and Levi and he says, "You have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land." Rather than reminding them of the morality or immorality of what they have done and how that they have sinned before the Lord in that they have misused the covenant sign, they have lied to the inhabitants of Shechem, they have committed murder and kidnapping and thieving. They have taken all of their stuff, all of their women, and rather than reminding all of that, Jacob seems more concerned for his reputation. Now we might be able to understand a means by which Jacob is still concerned for the covenant, because as being notorious as the man of Jehovah in the land, it may be that his reputation is tied to the glory of God in the estimation of the people round about. And so there may be some redeeming value there, but still absent from the discussion is the immorality of what they have done. Fathers, do not hesitate to call your children to account when they have sinned. And don't... How many of you have been to the store and you've seen mothers handling unruly children and they say to them, "Oh, you're embarrassing me." And what a terrible thing that is for them to say. Rather than dealing with the sin, rather than dealing with the rebellion, rather than dealing with the immorality. So we would rather see Jacob deal with the immorality here of his sons. Now he does later, in a way, at the patriarchal blessing. You remember that Simeon and Levi had what? No sure inheritance in the children of Israel. Everyone else had tracts of land. Simeon and Levi did not. Simeon, to his disappearance, scattered throughout. Levi, to his blessing, because they became the preachers spread throughout all of the land of Israel, having no sure tract of their own, and still following the prophetico-slash-patriarchal vision, blessing of Jacob. And notice then, finally, in the last verse, the last word is given to the sons. And they said, should he deal with our sisters with an harlot? So they are unrepentant in what they have done. So I told you, it's a difficult passage. Because there is much sinning, much deficiency taking place here among the children of Israel, among the covenant family, it almost seems at times in the narrative that the unrighteous are acting more righteous than the righteous, doesn't it? Well, from time to time, that's going to be that way in and among the people of God. But let it not be so among us. Yes, in the history of the people of God, we are going to find that. But let us take care not to acquiesce to, well, you know, from time to time, we're just going to be like that. No, let us not do that. Let us redouble our efforts to take a look at a passage like this, as difficult a reading as it is, as disappointing as it is in the behavior of God's people, and let that drive us to greater prayer, to greater watchfulness, to greater commitment to do what's right, no matter how hard it is. Right? All right, let's stand and continue calling upon the name of the Lord in the singing.